1041. Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to Scramblers. It is the Friday Road Show, sponsored by Shirley's Heating and Air. And we got Tom Martz joining us today. I believe we have Darren Chappell. I think that we do. But if not, there's a lot of stuff to cover, including the latest tariffs as Donald Trump manages to continue to isolate China. They are increasingly very sorry that they have decided to get into this battle. Their big hopes, well, they've got a couple of different problems. We'll talk about that coming up and the implications of it. And I find that everyone, not everyone, there's a large segment of the population that they believe that every price that has gone up is because of tariffs. Like, everything is because of tariffs. And a lot of times it's a lack of knowledge about exactly how tariffs work, when they kick in, what impact they actually have, whether or not, and with what consistency they get passed on to the consumer, if at all. You know, there's just so many components to it. But also, there is that grouping of individuals that just hates Donald Trump. And so the tariffs are awful. And it's the mixed reaction from the anti-Trump crowd. It is this mixture of how dare Donald Trump put these tariffs in place. He's awful. He's horrible. And then when he announces, because all of these countries are coming to the table and saying, okay, let's work out a deal, which, of course, he's the deal maker, the deal master. He's like, okay, well, we'll put a pause here with you all, not China, but with those of you who are coming to the table, we'll put a pause. And then the same people who criticize him for the tariffs are criticizing him for doing that. Up to and including accusing him of insider trading because he posted on social media when the stock market was down, hey, this is a great time to buy, everyone. That's not insider trading. That's not how that works. We've got all that coming up right now, the latest news update.
A good day to you from Ozarks First News. I'm Mike Landis. The deadline to obtain your real ID is quickly approaching. Well, aviation officials say you'll need that or an up-to-date passport if you plan to travel on domestic flights this summer. That deadline is Wednesday, May 7th. The initiative is part of the Real ID Act of 2005, which aims to increase security measures in airports and federal facilities. Well, in Springfield, felony charges are filed against a woman in a hit-and-run case. Tammy Spriggs is charged with leaving the scene of an accident and with DWI. Police say the incident happened last May near the corner of Patton and Walnut Street in Springfield. Court documents say Spriggs hit a skateboarder, then fled the scene. She later told officers she drank a wine cooler and smoked marijuana before getting behind the wheel. I'm Mike Landis, Ozarks First News, Springfield.
And the first alert forecast from Ozarks First meteorologist Tom Schmidt, sponsored by St. Clair the Ozarks Home Improvements. Today we'll see sunny skies throughout the day with a high near 61. Tonight mostly clear with a low around 38. For your Saturday, sunny with a high near 70. And looking ahead to Sunday, we'll see sunny skies with a high near 83.
And of course, we've been talking about the tariffs, concerns about tariffs. Tariffs are everywhere. My God, even where I don't see the tariffs, they're there. But they aren't everywhere, including a lot of places that you might think that they would exist, the traditional American-made car that was decades and decades ago is not what a lot of people think it is. And in fact, we have Barry from Pinnaker Honda here, and I think a lot of people would be surprised to hear. I know I've been talking about it, that three models in particular, 100% made Honda models in Alabama.
That's correct. Glad to be here, and I was just going to point out that you're right about the traditional thoughts on cars that are produced in the U.S. Actually, Honda is, there's more Hondas built here, and more percentage of our Hondas are built here than any other brand in America. So,
yeah, back in the day, I think I would hear my parents talk about, there was that period of time where it was like Ford, Chevy, that was all right. What America made, and that's just so, that is so out the window.
Yes, it is. Depending on where they're originally made, such as our brand or Toyota or other previously Japanese brands, they're they're really produced. And all those cars are produced in the U.S., even more so than some of the domestic models that you just mentioned.
Well, and so then with the tariffs, those vehicles in particular, sometimes you do have components that might be shipped in, so there can be impact there. But from what I understand, the inventory that's or stuff that's already inventoried, that isn't going to be impacted by any of that anyhow.
That's exactly right. So it's something to look at, too. We have a great selection right now, and it's good to come on out and look at it because they are not affected by the tariffs at this point in time. And, of course, we don't know what the future will bring for us.
Have you had a lot of people asking? Like, they come in, they're like, are these tariffed?
We have. We have people come in. I mean, started about a week ago. We had people started asking.
It's good they're asking, though.
Yes, it is. Yeah, and it looks like you said, like you pointed out, the cars that we have are not affected at all by the price, so it's good to get out and look around right now.
All right, well, what else is going on? Anything in particular you want people to know?
Yeah, exactly.
Since we got you up so early.
Well, that's just fine.
Might as well.
But we're looking at, if you've driven on Campbell Street, you probably noticed the dealership's all revamped. It's all brand new. It's not open yet in the brand new building, but we're still selling and out of the smaller building. But at the end of the month, 1st of May, we're going to have a grand opening sale that's going to have some great specials for everybody. It's a beautiful facility that's going to open up. It's worth coming out and looking at and meet up with the sales staff and the sales managers like myself and the service department and get familiar with that. But you will see that it's a new state-of-the-art facility, something to really be proud of, and we all are that have been working there.
What is it? What makes it state-of-the-art?
It's a new style. When you walk in, you'll notice it's unlike anything that's been around for the last 30 years in the dealership, car dealership departments. You'll see everything's up front. It's all bright and lit up, and everybody's available.
Very cool. All right. And, I mean, Monday through Saturday, pretty traditional. People want to stop by. You guys do food trucks on Friday, right?
We do.
Is that still happening right now, even with the renovations?
It has been, yes, and it's happening right now. It'll be happening today. But all the people, whether you're there to buy a car, whether you get there for service, or you're just driving by, you're welcome to stop in. We have the great food trucks. We have some of the best in Springfield.
Well, so it's awesome for you guys, too, who are working there.
Yeah.
Every Friday you get something different there.
Yeah, they've got a long line out there.
Well, we're going to have to see if we can figure out a way to get the show out there like we're out here on Fridays for whenever the grand opening's happening, because I wish it could. Now, we're here on Friday. Maybe there could be a special food truck, Wednesday or something.
It will. When we're out at there. The end of the month, Friday will be one of the days that our grand opening sale will be going on.
All right. Awesome. Well, thanks for stopping by. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it, and look forward to seeing you guys again.
Yep. Awesome, Barry. Pinneger Honda, thank you, sir. Appreciate it greatly. And, of course, like we said, make your way out there. And no tariffs on those Hondas as we speak. We've got traffic now live from Scramblers, the Friday Road Show, sponsored by Shirley's Heating and Air. I'm Nick Reed. KSGF.com, your chance to see Hank Williams Jr. live, Thunder Ridge. You can register for your chance to win tickets at KSGF.com. That concert is August 16th. China's increased tariffs on U.S. imports 125% from 84% amid the ongoing trade war. The alliance is here. You just love to see this stuff come together. And for so long, we've sort of been the trough at which other countries feed to some degree. And to see, just in a matter of days, a coalition that has been created of the willing, though through leverage, and that, it's Trump in the tariff situation and saying, okay, tariffs for everyone other than those who want to work with us. And pretty much everyone except China said, oh, that would be us. We want to work with you. And so Trump's like, okay. Now, as I predicted, the media, what are they? Oh, folded, I think is the term they use. Trump folded. No, this is the point. This is how this works. This is why Trump is doing it. I don't know. Listen, we all know that people who hate Trump, no matter what he does, they will claim that it is a failure, that it is wrong. But this is the whole point of putting the tariffs in place, is to change the landscape, is to get other countries to say, there's, as I've noted in the past, that Trump has set the table, so no matter what happens, it is to the benefit of the United States. And one of the options, of course, is countries coming to the United States and saying, okay, we're ready to deal. And that's exactly what all these countries are doing. And some have gone so far, Australia being one of them, to publicly let it be known that China has lobbied them to try to get them to come over to, quote, their side, and they rebuked them. So we have, with some of these other countries, not only are they separating off from China and siding with the United States, but they are wanting the United States to know, hey, we're on your side and we're letting the rest of the world know. We're not just coming to you, but China, they wanted us to come over. They picked up the phone, called us, and said, hey, what can we do to get you to come over here? And I'm sure they made a number of different trading offers. But they want everyone to know, no, we're on the side of Trump on this one, the United States of America. The problem with that China has is, given their approach in the past and the fact that it's a communist regime, to them, failure is compromising. That is complete and utter failure. And their plot for years and years and years has been to slowly infiltrate the rest of the world, among other ways, economically. And so this is Trump attacking and diminishing their authority and their power and their infiltration in a mass scale, in one of their primary efforts here. So this is more than just an economic issue for them, though it is a massive one, but it's also a strategic plan of theirs that has been put in place in order to have global dominance. And this isn't a secret. They've talked about this. Xi of China has publicly stated that within a couple of decades, the goal is to dominate the entire world economically. And so that also is at stake. And this makes it very, very, this just, they've really boxed themselves in on this one with, of course, the help of Donald Trump. And that's what he knows. Most Americans, understandably, don't know the internal goings on with the economy and what their plan is for a global domination. But Trump knows it. He's known it for decades. I mean, he's done business in China and he knows these people. And so he understands what is at stake for them. While we're talking about the increased price of random products for what is expected to be temporary, they're looking at a total, complete collapse of everything. The issue of the tariffs, if that diminishes the demand on their products to the point they have to start laying off people, that's really the one thing that they have to do in communist China is keep people in jobs. That starts to go away, and then they've got very, very, very serious problems. And so while a lot of Americans may think of it as, well, this is just who can deal with higher prices the longest. For us, worst case scenario is things, certain products from China become more expensive for a while. For China, it's the collapse of their economy and their government. Those are two very, very, very big differences. It is the difference between just being uncomfortable financially for a while and complete collapse of your country. And that's where we have the leverage in this, and that's what Trump knows. China is also smart strategically. They know marketing. They're very good at marketing. And this is one of the reasons that they have announced that they are going to diminish the number of screens that Hollywood can have their productions shown. So in other words, they are going to essentially tariff to some degree by way of number of screens that Hollywood can show their films over there. So that's a loss to Hollywood. Well, they have long been able to manipulate Hollywood and the media because the media and Hollywood want part of the marketplace of China. They want it's money, 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 money. This is why there have been stories we've seen in the past where movies that are blockbuster hits and the ending, or there will be scenes that are anti-communist or makes China look bad. The versions that are shown in China, the artistic integrity of the people in Hollywood, they have no problem cutting that out so that it can be shown in China. They have long been willing to abide by censorship dictates of China in order to get in front of those screens. And it's part of the reason that all of this sudden Hollywood, they don't mind slavery so much. They don't mind concentration camps so much because they occur in China and they want that market. So they keep their mouths shut. This is why China is more than willing to put money into the pockets of celebrities. You may recall just a few years ago, now, I'm not a follower of sports, specifically the NBA, but I recall there was a coach that lashed out at China, and I believe it was because, you know, they have slaves and concentration camps and so forth, and he was really railed against by, among other people, some celebrities who get endorsements because of the Chinese government, and they're on the payroll, is essentially what occurs there. And so this is part of the reason that you see China threatening Hollywood. And again, when you talk about Disney, for example, well, that's ABC, and you got ABC Nightly News or whatever their news is called. Point being is that China understands that there are certain, particularly on the left, industries that are going to be much more prone to scream loudly about how awful Trump is and how he's destroying the economy and hurting people. And so they're really going to make a point to target those different industries, and Hollywood is one of them. Now, when Trump was asked about it, his response was, "I've heard of worse things." So He's not real heck-bent on rescuing Hollywood for the temporary pain that they may suffer at the hands of China. I think another point that needs to be made here, particularly given that China at this point is the country that has behaved or reacted in a manner that has resulted in that country taking the biggest brunt of the tariffs. It's also the country that not only has concentration camps and slavery, same sort of slavery we had here in the good old US of A, individuals that are forced to work for free, or, you know, they're given boarding and minimal food. No different than what we had here in the United States. But not only that, but many of the products that are purchased and sold, imported into the United States, part of the reason that they are so cheap is because of slavery. And I just think that it's so telling that the people in this country politically that talk about privilege, white privilege, and talk about reparations because of slavery in the United States of America and how we should be ashamed of our flag because of its history of slavery, are angry that Trump is putting tariffs on China, a country whose products are as cheap as they are because of slavery. They're mad. People on the left in this country are the ones that are most openly angry at Trump doing economically offsetting the benefits of slavery, punishing China because of the economic benefits they receive because of slavery. So once again, just like in our own history, it was the left, it was the Democrat Party that promoted slavery, that fought for slavery, largely for economic reasons. They're doing it again today in defending China. How dare Trump do this? How awful to put tariffs on the country of China because it's going to cost us more. And the reason it's going to cost us more is because they use slaves. So any one of you out there on the left that thinks that, well, white privilege is something that's so horrible and we need to counter because of our history of slavery in this country, but you're angry that Trump has tariffs in place to punish a country in which you want the cheaper products due to the fact that they enslave people to produce them, you are worse than a hypocrite. Fields Talk 104.1 live from Scramblers. I'm Nick Reed. Pharmaceutical company Novartis announced plans to build 7 facilities in the United States and expand others in a $23 billion investment over 5 years on the heels of Trump's announcement of forthcoming tariffs on imported drugs. The Swiss company revealing the major investment in a press release, saying the commitment enables Novartis to expand on its current manufacturing, research, and technology presence across the country with 10 facilities, including 7 brand new facilities, creating nearly 1,000 new jobs at Novartis and approximately 4,000 additional U.S. jobs. 6 of the facilities will be manufacturing plants, 2 of which will focus on radioligand therapy in Florida and Texas. Moreover, the company is establishing biomedical research innovative centers in San Diego as part of the investment and expanding 3 of its facilities in Indiana, New Jersey, and California. This is one of the upside. In life, sometimes there are trade-offs. The benefit of, at times, having facilities that are overseas is that it is possible those products are going to be cheaper in many instances. And sometimes, depending on the product itself, it may require certain elements that we just don't even have here under our ground. So it's just not feasible anyhow. Having those products from cheaper over there, particularly if their components are good for American companies, because then it's cheaper for American companies to build stuff, utilizing those components. That's a positive. The negative is we're reliant on another country. I mean, it's a trade-off. And the downside of that is when it is your enemy or a country like China, that is a geopolitical enemy, but at the same time, as openly said, we want world dominance when it comes to the economy. We want to be the dictators of the world, economically speaking. And when, for the purposes of, you know, making things cheaper here in the United States, which again, I mean, that's not always a bad thing, but at the same time, you are completely beholden to communist China that can at any moment turn it off and use that as a weapon of war, you know, that's a trade-off. And that's just reality. Springfield's Talk 104.1, Darren Chappell, will chat with him coming up next here live from Scrambler's Friday Roadshow, sponsored by Shirley's Heating and Air. I'm Nick Reed.
Springfield's Talk 104.1, your first alert forecast from Ozark's first meteorologist, Tom Schmidt, sponsored by Wolfpack Cleaners, your residential and commercial cleaning professionals. Today, we'll see sunny skies throughout the day with a high near 61. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 38. For your Saturday, sunny with a high near 70. And looking ahead to Sunday, sunny skies with a high near 83.
Hey, look over there. It's Darren Chappell.
There he is.
Wow. You guys.
How are you?
I'm great. How are y'all?
I'm doing just fine. Now, what did it mean when you posted? I saw on social media it was like a bird, and it was looking right at the camera, and you said something. What did you say?
Current mood.
Current mood.
Yeah. I don't remember. Somebody said something extraordinarily stupid, and I was aggravated. I actually took that picture. So.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Knowing that, I'll have to go back and really evaluate it.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, the composition, the
right.
You know, the focus. The,
mm-hmm.
Yes. Attention to detail.
I laid there for 12 hours to get that shot.
It's common grackle, a male common grackle, as a matter of fact.
Are you a bird guy?
You know, I had a phase. I enjoy taking wildlife photography.
Okay.
And birds are a big part of that, simply because they're everywhere.
Well, that does make it easy.
Yeah.
I've got...
Not a lot of grizzly bears.
I've got a number of different feeders and bird baths and outside our back window.
I have one that has a camera on it.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Wow.
So she's kind of gotten into it.
I'm also a bird person.
But I notice that, and, you know, different birds obviously are going to stand out more than others. Robins, not so much. But we had thrashers for a period of time. And you begin to realize, oh, wait a minute. those are the same two from last, you know, and you'll get returns that come year after year.
Yeah, we, this is riveting radio, by the way.
This is NPR stuff right here. Except for we're not going to blame Trump for anything.
Let me put my NPR voice on. We had a Blue Jay that had been injured or something, but anyway, the top part of its beak was gone.
Oh,
that sucker lived 4 years.
Really?
Kept coming back, and he was easy to spot, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
But
Blue Jays.
Yeah. I took pictures of birds. I had it set up. It's a way for me to relax. So when I was managing cities, I would take shots off my back porch.
Okay.
And I would, all the different birds. And I got something like 47 species came to the backyard 1 year.
And people don't realize how many will do that because they don't pay much attention to birds.
No. And why would you, really, when you think about it?
Because they're everywhere.
Because they're everywhere. And
I mean, they are the only living creature that poops on your car.
That's right. Well, that you recognize.
Yeah.
A cat might.
I don't think I've had that happen.
So anyway, I've given Sarah my phone.
Wow, I'm impressed. Actually, those are nice. Those are much, much better than the pictures I've tried to take. I'll see
don't distract me.
Wish you could all see these.
Yeah. I've driven up to Les Bluffs, which is way up north in Missouri, to photograph bald eagles and things like that.
Do you have a camera for it?
Yeah.
It looks like it.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a way for me to relax. My kids make fun of me, though.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, Dad's finally gotten old enough where all he wants to do is take pictures of birds, you know?
It's all right. Like I said, Sarah, she'll, in the middle of the show, be like, oh, look. And then show me on her phone that one is eating.
I always say, look, I have a customer.
Yeah, that's what she says, I have a customer.
So, you know, it's I enjoy being outside. But since I've been elected to office, I don't think I've taken a single shot of birds or anything, really.
You probably need to more now than ever.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I mean, it really, truly is.
Tell us about it.
Well, how does that make you feel? I'm listening. the Frasier line.
Oh, yes. One of my favorite shows.
It is frustrating because, you know, like we heard. So the way bills work is that, you know, you file the bill, it gets referred to committee, it goes through committee, gets voted out of committee, it's got to go to the rules committee, and then gets voted out of rules, it goes on the calendar, the floor leader calls it on the floor, and now we're going to perfect the bill. And a bill can be killed at any point along the way. But now we're perfecting the bill. And perfection is where we make all the arguments. This is a good bill. This is a bad bill. Hey, would you be willing to change it to this and offer amendments? And so the actual formulation of law on the House side occurs largely in perfection. And then it has to go back on the calendar after it's been perfected. It goes back on the calendar for at least one legislative day. And we bring it back for third read. And on third read, we're only allowed, each individual that wants to speak for or against the bill is only allowed 5 minutes, which is about 7 minutes too long, by the way. So anyway, we had a bill on gun control that would say, look, we're going to allow 17-year-olds to have concealed carry weapons. Other states have done this, and 17, you know, we're lowering the age for concealed carry. And oh, for crying out loud, here come the waterworks.
Oh, of course.
And, you know, the Democrats are just throwing a fit. And, of course, none of the arguments are actually about concealed weapons, concealed carry of weapons, not about 17-year-olds. There were some who said, look, your brain doesn't even fully form until you're 25. Why would we trust someone to have this ability? And I go, oh, but they can totally lop parts of their body off
or,
at 12.
Right, exactly. Or even within the context of the law itself, if you're going to argue that their brain isn't formulated enough, to be allowed to conceal carry. What makes you think that it is formulated enough to obey the law anyway?
Yeah.
See, to me, any age limit is totally irrelevant in terms of effectiveness.
I don't disagree, but it is what it is. Yeah. We're trying to lower it.
Yeah, no, I get that. But the idea that if somebody is 15 or whatever age and they're going to do something bad and they're going to hide, I have to wait till my next birthday to do that. Criminals don't work that way.
No. And I said that on the floor.
Yeah.
Criminals by definition do not obey the law. So the only people this affects are law-abiding citizens.
Yeah.
So at any rate, one of the freshman Democrats, who's actually a pretty sharp guy, he's a young guy from St. Louis, very Democrat, very liberal, and he's not stupid in any way. He's a smart kid. I'm 58
sure.
years old.
You're a bird watcher.
Right. So he's a smart kid, but he was lamenting the fact that no one was listening to their side's arguments, that the Republicans were texting or having conversations. They weren't listening. I'm not sure everybody understands how many times we've heard the same arguments.
Yeah.
And the people that have been there, they're seniors this term. They've been there 7 years. They've heard the same arguments over and over and over again. And, oh, by the way, they were bad arguments the first time.
Right.
And so when you have to sit there and go through that, I mean, there are times when I just get up and walk off the floor because I don't want to waste time by answering all of this, and I don't want to give them credibility by addressing what they've said. So just get up and leave. But you can't go far because at any moment
they can say we're
going to call the vote. And so it's a bit of a frustration on that level because you've just got to sit through there and listen to that. And I understand this young man's frustration with the Republicans that we're not listening. But I told another freshman who was criticizing why we haven't done IP and yada, yada, yada. And I said, you think we've just been twiddling our thumbs up here waiting for you to get elected? I've been in the House for one term, 2 years. I voted IP out of the House 4 times. We're doing everything we can. Now, would I like to see more done? And in some areas and way less done in others? Absolutely. But people, when they first get up there, they go, okay, guys, I'm here. I'm going to fix the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, all right, Scooter.
There is a guy who was running. I don't remember what the race was. He was from Joplin, I want to say. And he was running, I want to say, as, I don't know, independent or something. Because his whole thing was, well, what's needed is somebody like him, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you think? I'm always amazed at people who think that the problem is people, all the lawmakers, they're not willing to get together, and I am. So that means that once I'm there, I guess that's all of a sudden going to start happening. Like, what do you think? Everyone's going to go, well, we never thought of this before. There's this sort of almost a narcissism, and I think some of it's ignorance, like not really playing it out and thinking, okay, once you get there, how do you think that that's going to work?
Well, some of the best parts of being in the House is what we call the front porch caucus.
Oh, yeah, you talked about that.
Yeah, on Saturday, or something, probably.
Or maybe it was, I don't know when it was.
Front porch caucus is great because we sit around and we talk about things from an intellectual, philosophical perspective. We hack on each other.
Right.
We'll look at somebody and say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard anybody say.
Yeah.
And it's all open and free. And, we just beat it out together to say, we're just going to thresh this out. All right. So that's great. It's fantastic. But when somebody gets elected and they're convinced that the answer to life's problems is more of me, oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I mean,
guess what? You're not the first one to think that.
You're not the first one to try that. The last guy who tried it was actually a lot smarter than you are, there's so many different levels of to quote Shrek, it's like an onion. And every time you peel back a layer, there's another layer more smelly than the last. And the reality of it is that these individuals who come with these high aspirations, and God love them, right?
Yep.
But I think that's one of the reasons why I've been able to assimilate my talents into the mix as quickly as I have, is because since I studied government for so long, I didn't have those unrealistic
right.
expectations. Yep. I didn't show up and say, okay, guys, I'm here. Everybody calm down. I've got it under control.
More at Darren Chappell Live from Scrambler's Friday Road Show. I'm Nick Reed. All right, a couple things before we get back with Darren Chappell. We still have a KSGF.com. I think this may be the last day, I believe, or Sunday will be the last day. So you have the weekend to cast your vote for the love letters from the left down to the final two. These are statements, comments made to KSGF, to Sarah, to me. From people on the left that are listeners. Why they listen, I don't know. But they do, and then they get angry, and then they send all sorts of messages. And we thought, oh, that'll be a fun bracket. Everybody does their March bracket. This will be a fun bracket. And so if you go vote, that will also be an entry for you into a chance to win a $250 Visa gift card from Garrison Roofing and Guttering. And that will be a random drawing. And that is, again, at KSGF.com, where you can also register for your chance to win a pair of tickets to catch Hank Williams Jr. at Thunder Ridge Nature Arena Saturday, August 16th. More at Darren Chappell just a moment from now. I'm Nick Reed. Darren Chappell with us. Okay, so I've got a question about a piece of legislation mm-hmm. that I think there was a news leader story on. And I'm going to tell you what I inferred the landscape is on, and you can tell me if I'm correct or not. Legislation that seemed to me, the way the story was written, that there is legislation that will allow for what one might consider to be video poker gambling machines to mm-hmm. be all across the state of Missouri, only if it's government, though, while private sector is banned from doing it. Is that a...
No.
Okay. Because that's the way that the story read, that this legislation, it was going to, I forgot what the gray area machine, or there was some terminology that they used that they, in the story, made it sound like, okay, those are the private entity one. And it specifically mentioned yeah. that Torch Entertainment or whatever that.
Yeah, no.
So explain this.
Some of those words are correct. You know, and I'm, that's
now,
not
I said
your
it was
fault.
A news leader
that's
story.
Not your fault. But nope, clearly nobody called me and asked, right? I mean, nobody said, hey, what's the deal on this? Nobody called me. So the gray machines are all the video slot machines that you see everywhere.
Right, mm-hmm. In gas stations primarily.
And they're illegal. And we have 114 counties and 113 county prosecutors are not doing much about it. Greene County actually has been working on this issue.
Well, they say that out of the gate, or at least I remember Springfield, they're like, immediately, we're going to start shutting this down. And I still see them. I'm like, something happened there to where they were like, well, maybe not.
Well, like I said, they're doing something. The others are doing nothing. By and large, they're just doing nothing. And Springfield has a case, and there's lawsuits yeah. involved and all that, so yada, yada, yada. They're everywhere. Now, I don't like the dumb things. I just don't. I don't like them. I don't like them because you got somebody over there, and they look like, you know, extras from The Walking Dead playing these stupid things at all hours of the day and night and dragging their oxygen tank, you know, over there, and little kids are seeing and hearing, and, you know, I don't like it. I don't. But liberty means that, you know, you get to be as dumb as you want to be. That's part of the deal. And I can't legislate intelligence. And these video games and the lottery are a voluntary tax on people who can't do math. I don't know what to tell you, you know? So the question was, how do we address the issue? And this bill that was put forth by Bill Hardwick, his VLT bills, be good if I could talk, wouldn't it? It says, look, we're going to make it to where these can be legalized so that they can be regulated, and so that we can collect a tax from them. We don't own them It's not government-owned. The only government-owned gambling we have is the lottery.
Well, see, and the story read, I should have pulled it up, but it talked about, it sounded as if this was something that would be Missouri lottery machines would be allowed, and the private gray machines or whatever would be banned.
Well, they're illegal now. How's that working out? You know, they're illegal now. And people are using them all over the state. The reason why they're there is because they're extraordinarily profitable. And the reason why they're extraordinarily profitable is because people like them. It's like Prohibition in the 1920s. It's exactly what this is. And that didn't work then, and this doesn't work now. So the question is, do you regulate it? And do you tax it so that there is some benefit derived from it? And some of the money goes to veterans, and
right.
some of the money
yeah,
goes to children, and some of the money goes to, you know, gambling addiction and everything under the sun.
Yeah, this is the opening part, and this is why I understood
it. I don't doubt
you. No, but just
all.
For people listening, and so you can know, as the news leader said, a bill allowing Missouri Lottery to install video gambling machines at retail locations across the state faces a difficult path to final passage, even if its sponsors can find enough votes to get it out of the Missouri House. And then it talks about it said it would allow the video lottery games in licensed retail locations, declare unlicensed games called gray market games to be illegal slot machines. So because of the way it positioned it, the bill would allow the Missouri Lottery to put them in, but it would outlaw the gray. That's why, to me, it
yeah.
sounded like, you understand?
Well, this is being done under the auspices of the section of government that allows for the lottery. So that's probably where the confusion
got it,
occurred.
Yeah.
But this bill doesn't make the gray machines illegal. They're already illegal. This bill gives a way for there to be a legal option, thereby making the illegal option easier, supposedly, to curtail. And a lot of people are, I can't believe you voted for that bill. Well, what do you want me to do, given that the option is to have them or to have them?
Right.
That's the option. Do you want to have them or do you want to have them?
I do, and I'm sure you do. Well, I don't want to. I find it somewhat amusing that there is so often talk about the, which I agree in terms of usage of dollars, but the awful nature of gambling. But then I see a commercial about all the wonderful education that comes from buying lottery tickets.
Which is ridiculous.
I mean, it's just like, oh, all of a sudden, it isn't just okay. It's virtuous
yeah.
to gamble your money away. And, we got 20 seconds.
Yeah, and the video games... slot machines, they have a horrible rate of return. It's a terrible bet, but it's light years ahead of the lottery. The lottery is awful. So, I mean, you know, I don't know what to tell y'all.
Darren Chappell, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
My privilege.
In 60 seconds, I'm Nick Reed.